We begin with Hallelujah. It's 150 episodes of Cider Chat, counting 1, 2, 3.
Excuse me, Mr. Quince. Before we get there, I would first like to say hello to Anders. I don't understand why he doesn't understand me being a Perry Pear. He was in Normandy on the cider tour. He did go to the Musée du Perry.
Perry, wait a minute. You're talking about Anders, and I did talk to him about that he doesn't really get what the Talking Palms are all about, and that's not too unusual out there in Ciderville. You would think people would know a little bit about Talking Palms, but sometimes they're a little hard to understand.
Understand? Really? Like, that's a novel idea? People have not understood Perry Pears for a very long time, Rhea.
Perry, we need to move on with this podcast.
I understand that, Mr. Quince, but I just want to make this point and call out Anders one more time. Out there in Oregon, and he was in Normandy, in Domfront, meeting all the Perry Pears, and I do not understand why he doesn't get Perry Pears now. I mean, he was right there in the forefront.
I'm guessing, Perry Pear, that what Anders and maybe some other listeners of this here podcast don't quite, well, they can't wrap their head around. And I mean, frankly, it surprised me too when I learned that some palms can talk, like the three of you or and more. It's kind of the magic of Ciderville. And truthfully, I think by the end of that Totally Cider tour out in Normandy, everybody was talking to the palms.
The same thing happens to the Quince Perry Pear. It happened in Normandy. The group walked by the Quince bush, and they didn't really say hi, but we don't take it personally.
My cousin lives by the Castle Lassie, and they met some very nice guys from L.A. on that tour.
Yeah, I heard that Greg and Michael really found a beautiful medlar tree, and I was kind of disappointed not to see it. So there's always next year, because we'll be doing that tour again in September, coming up in 2019.
Well, I suppose that gives me a whole year between now and next year's Normandy trip to prepare listeners on how to speak to a Perry Pear, because you never know if a Perry Pear or a Talking Palm may talk back.
Well, we don't bite, do we?
All right, it's the nose. Perfect timing. I'm having a conversation here with the Talking Palms about people out in Ciderville not really understanding what the Talking Palms are about or being able to understand what they say. So maybe you could shed a little bit of light on how to explain the Talking Palms to Ciderville. What do you think about that?
Congratulations, 150 episodes. That's awesome. Hello, Medlars.
Hi, Nose.
Mr. Quince, good to see you.
Good to see you, as always.
Hi, Perry Pear.
Nose, what do you think about this? That Anders didn't understand that I can talk.
I think sometimes people have to stretch their imagination a little more than usual to consider that palms can talk. And I really think that you all are innovative pioneers in this field.
Innovative? In the field of Ciderville? Indeed. Something I am quite familiar with, Nose.
Oh, these pears.
Speaking of fields, I'm glad I wore my boots today because the field was really wet outside. And to take this pun just one step further, I brought some cider to share made by Field Maloney of West County Cider today. It's a really yummy ginger gold single varietal.
Were you there just at their new tasting room up in Peckville Lane or Orchard?
It's Peckville Road in right. Shelburne, mm-hmm. Right near Apex Orchards. And they have a really sweet tasting room. They have two taps coming out of a cement wall. They had a maple and their Redfield were both on tap.
That Redfield, they're really well known for, aren't they? So the ginger gold, well, let's have a little bit of that. And what about this whole conversation around the palms? Is it that they're innovative? Is that just it? Or what is it about the fact that people don't necessarily understand that they can talk. We just have to say it's the magic of Ciderville. Would you agree? By the way, cheers. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. I'd have to agree.
Tart.
These are the first talking palms that I've ever met.
I know. Hey, speaking of which, palms, Nose and I are going to get right into... Sorry, I got a little bit of cider there. Nose and I are going to get right into the conversation of this episode. What do you say that we take it from here?
Go ahead. I am stepping out into the orchard and having an innovative conversation with some peri pears.
Counting 1, 2, 3.
Take it away.
Hey, welcome. I'm really glad you can make it to this episode, 150 episodes of Cider Chat. You
it's know what? Really incredible. It's been such a fun journey to be a part of and watching from the sidelines as well.
I feel like there's so much to look forward to, and everything that I think about that has happened over the course of 150 episodes, it almost blows me out of the water to take it all in. All the people that I've met along the way, whether they're commercial or non-commercial, that have helped and supported this podcast. Actually, that's where I'd like to start, if you don't mind. If we go right into talking about some of the support that of the people who have actually made it possible for this here podcast to roll forward.
Sure, I'm all for focusing on possibilities.
Let's begin with some of the new commercial makers who joined the Cider Going Up campaign this year. And that really floored me. We're going to start with the folks in Herefordshire. That's Ross on Y Cider and Perry Company. And they are in that area of Herefordshire that has some outstanding producers. And the fact that they noticed the podcast, joined the Cider Going Up campaign. You know when you find like a cider and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the cider is so good. And who are these people behind it? And then you actually start creating a relationship with a cider maker. It personalizes it for me. And so when I raise that glass, I'm thinking, holy cow, you know, I am out in the orchard, walking along the lane, looking at their beautiful heritage apple trees, their cider trees, and tasting a bit of their sunshine. They were kind of like one of my celebrity ciders. And they joined the Cider Going campaign. Who would have thought? That's beautiful.
It is totally beautiful. It makes me wonder, do people have that same experience when they go to the liquor store and they try a cider for the first time? Are they thinking about the place that that cider was made and the people that are behind the production of it?
That's a good point. I think a lot of times folks go to a store, like you say, and they're buying by what the label says. You know, what's the picture on it? What's the font? How catchy is it?
Or like the person in the tasting room yesterday that was buying based on ABV.
Right, alcohol by volume, yeah.
And was thinking about caloric.
Caloric, yeah, caloric count. Because she was on a diet and thinking, I primarily go to wine. I don't go to cider because I'm worried about it being too high in calories. Wasn't she surprised to learn that actually, if it's a lower ABV, you have less caloric count, less calories, than you would if you're grabbing 11% wine.
And there's a perfect example of being on site at a cidery that's near where the apples are growing to be able to further educate someone where they're not going to get that necessarily in whether they're not going to necessarily get that information if they go to a liquor store to buy a bottle.
That's part of like the education. But we are kind of going a little off topic here once again, but that's what happens in Ciderville, doesn't it? I want to go on a little bit more with some of the people I want to thank here. Another commercial cidery that joined the Cider Going Up campaign this year was Iron Bark Cider Works out in Claremont, California. I think you heard that episode with Kat.
I loved their swag.
Their swag, yeah. You saw that shirt I have. It's a beautiful, like, hot pink, would you say? Mm-hmm. And it has the logo that I believe Kat's daughter did. Kat is, like, what do you call it? Binational? I don't know what it is when you're Australian and you're U.S. citizen at the same time.
Dual citizenship.
Oh, good. Thank you. And so her daughter made this beautiful woman archer, pulling back the bow, and the apple is pierced by the
really powerful image.
Beautiful. And what cool people there, she and Jim and all the locals. I love what they're doing with cider because they're less of a traditional cidery in terms of that they don't have that cider apple variety right now, but they're really meeting their audience, their locals. And that's the beauty of cider, whether you are more of a traditionalist or you're thinking, oh, I want something that's really healthy for my body, you know, and taking it from that approach.
Well, and one of the things that I appreciated about learning about them was that they were really bringing a lot of art into their craft. Who else has construction equipment that is also hot pink? I was just so impressed by that. I love that picture of Kat on was it a bucket loader?
A forklift. Shows how much you know about equipment.
I'm a body worker. I work on the human body, not on the mechanics.
Right. Yeah, she has a pink forklift. And if you want to see a photo of that, do go to the episode with Kat. I'll put a link in the show notes to that. Another person I'd like to make mention of is John Edwards, who is not a commercial cider maker. I don't even know if he makes cider. I know he drinks cider for sure. And I met him at CiderCon in Baltimore this past late January. And that CiderCon is the annual trade conference for the United States Association of Cider Makers members. And I was there and recording his workshop called The Chemical Fingerprints of Cider, or maybe it's Cider's Chemical Fingerprints. Either way, he's doing analysis on cider. And we were talking afterwards, and he was basically asking me, how can I support the podcast, knowing that it takes a bit of money to support and keep it on the air and pay for just monthly hosting needs, music, all that stuff that goes into production. And I mentioned that there is the Cider Going Up campaign, which originally I thought would be for commercial cider makers. But in talking to John, he said, well, I could do that. You know, I have a business. My business could do that. And his business is called NMR Processing Services. And they do spectrography. I think I got that right. And do analysis of liquids, and they also do that for cider analysis too. To think that this guy, a business that's not necessarily super cider directed, said, I'm going to take a step here and still support you with an outside business, really outside of the cider industry, just to help you stay on the air. That was pretty amazing. So I'd like to just raise a glass to John Edwards for doing that, because sure, that was a model, right?
The next person on the list should be Ryan Monkman, right?
Yeah, Ryan is a real special guy, a Canadian, who we gotta love the Canadians. It's just an amazing country. Everybody up there is fantastic. I love doing a blanket statement of a country, but that's the way I feel. I really do.
Well, and he personally worked really, really hard to bring you in particular to that area of Ontario.
Yeah, yeah. What's happening in Ontario is phenomenal. And if not for Ryan, I wouldn't have been able to produce, I don't know how many episodes, I think like 10 episodes right now on the scene happening for cider in Ontario and all around Lake Ontario.
Which is Prince Edward County, that was all part of that, right?
Well, Prince Edward County is to the north of Lake Ontario. It's on the shores. And that's where his cidery, Fieldbird Cidery, is located. And he and his wife, soon-to-be second child, will be moving forward, I guess you would say. Yay. Cheers to them all. This winter, this early winter. And they have purchase a biodynamic farm, so they're going to be doing that. So that was really quite interesting. But he brought me to a number of different places all along the route, all these cideries that their voices really need to be heard. And when he first contacted me, he said, well, you know, how can we do this? How can we get you up here? And I said, well, I need to be sponsored, because otherwise I'm, you know, taking a lot of time. It's all out of pocket. And though I'd love to do that, I, contrary to popular belief, am not a multi-millionaire by any means. So he said, well, let's make it happen. And he did. And that guy, his insight and willingness to share. If people haven't followed him on Instagram, they should. It's Ryan Monkman or Fieldbird Cider. He has two different handles there on social media. so smart, so poetic, and the work that he's doing with barrels. We had the little episode with him and his buddy Lee on barrels and batonnage, and that's at Kenti Winery, where he really has all his cider stored, which is right at Prince Edward County. Two good buddies, and he's going to be at Cider Days coming up.
I was just going to ask. I thought I saw his name coming up for Cider Days.
Yeah, he's going to do cider and oak. So he's going to be working with oak. He's going to have a tasting of some of his cider, and I know it's going to be educational. And, of course, I'm sure he's going to be talking about some American oak barrel that he has. He has a barrel. So he's playing around a bit with the oak, and he has a very interesting perspective, and I think that this was what... it informed me at a different level. Like in the cider world, it's new in many ways. Even though it's old, it's new, especially in the U.S. And so folks are learning kind of like on YouTube or all these different ways via Cider Chat, of course, too. But there's not this kind of lineage that you have in the wine world in that same way. Unless you have people like Ryan, who has straddled both worlds now. So he could bring all his specialized skill in winemaking, working with batonnage, working with oak, working with a wild ferment, and how to incorporate that and what it does for that fermentation process to the other level. And that is something that I feel in the U.S. is desperately needed. People like that who are willing to share that knowledge and have the street cred to be able to do it. That's Ryan Monkman. And he's going to be doing that at Cider Days. I'll be introducing him at that workshop. But more importantly, people should keep an eye out for Fieldbird Cider. And for the Canadian consult, actually Canadians are going to be at CiderCon in Chicago, because every year they have a special like international guest. It's going to be Canada. And they're going to be sharing beaver tails at a little after hours cider gathering, I guess.
You don't mean actual beaver tails, of course.
I don't know. I guess you have to be there to find out. But they're really playful. But what I was getting to is, I think any Canadian cider maker that gets a chance should really thank Ryan personally for shining such a huge spotlight on the country. It opened up my eyes to a region that I didn't really know about. And that was what was made it really special for me, to kind of meet all those folks, make those relationships, but also to be supported in my work to be able to do that and to produce these episodes. It's
huge.
It's huge. And it's a way that we have to support each other to keep cider going up and to be realized as a formidable drink that is highly connected. Can't do it alone.
It is a cooperative culture.
It has to be. It has to be. And it's important that the rest of the world hears that too, that we're working together. It's not just the U.S. doing that, or just Virginia, or there's just New England, or just the Pacific Northwest. Each area needs that, or Poland. I mean, my eyes out in the world of Cider Chat, I feel like I have this interesting perspective talking to everyone around the world, what's happening with like Lee Reeve at Insider, what he's doing in Japan, or Hugh McKellar, what he's doing for the Australian cider scene is fantastic. Susanna Forbes with her new book, Cider Insider, that she just produced, or Gabe Cook, his new book called The Ciderologist. It's a handle that he likes to go by. He's a UK writer and teacher in that way. So that is really critical for all these voices to be heard. And I'm very pleased to be able to have this form of Cider Chat and like bang those drums loudly and let people know that our biggest asset is each other. Not just the apple, it's each other. And don't ever underestimate the people connection, because without the people, the cider wouldn't be fermented. And so it's equally as important to really support the apple industry and getting cider apples in, but the people who are doing that work need the support, and we need to be feeling connected.
Well, if I may,
please,
I would love to thank you for your work as a cider ambassador, because I really think that you're a valuable person in the cider world and the cider culture, and you have a real talent of bringing people together all over the world in this whole cider culture and helping to educate folks that are outside of that world and keep the people that are in it feeling connected, because I think you've gotten many emails from people in the past year thanking you for that in particular, right? You've mm-hmm. heard from people saying, I'm in the middle of nowhere. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for producing this show. It helps me to know that I'm not out here alone doing this.
Yeah. No, thank you. That's really kind of you. It is that connection that keeps me going for that kind of little email I get that's coming in. I know from their like middle of the night somewhere out in their spot of Ciderville, and they're just thanking me for that one moment saying, keep it going on, keep it going. And just recently I got, it was on Instagram from somebody up in Canada, and it was really sweet because they included me. Let me read it here. I think I pulled it right up. It says, a full day making cider with at Holy Water Band and my brother Graham. I love how people get so personal. Couldn't be more thankful for their help. And then tags my handle on Instagram as Cider Chat Ciderville, keeping the dream alive, thinking of all the cider lovers out there. And that's really sweet. That was from Duncan Davies, who I believe is based up in Toronto, Ontario.
Really kind.
Really kind. You know, that is what it's about. And I know that there's a million people out there in all parts of the world, whether it's Kazakhstan to Latvia to Asturias. You think, like, okay, well, they're doing fine. They're making cider. They're commercial. They're fine. But, no, you know, it's lonely work. I mean, there's that guy, Jim, from Portugal, who's an American, moved to Portugal and is trying to get hooked into the cider scene. And listening to a lot of the episodes of Cider Chat, he was able to recently attend the International Hall of Gala Apples, their eighth annual event. And that was something that I attended in 2016. I was actually the first American to attend that conference or Congress. It's like a 3 days of, you know, drinking sidra. You know, there's a judging, and then they have a big dinner. And I went just because they reached out to me. And, I want to talk a little bit something about that, because I went and I realized that I was representing America, which is always interesting for me because I feel, okay, I'm American, but I feel like what I represent is actually Ciderville. And that's global to me. So I don't really feel I want to be tied into any one way because the apple is infinite.
Sure.
So it's a pear. And yet, you could get a little pigeonholed because of your nationality.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an out-of-pocket experience for me because I was not supported by any one cidery. Although I will say Big Apple Hard Cider in New York City sent me a very nice donation to help along with that. I had a number of donations from listeners that helped me pay for some of the expenses there. So in that way, but I wasn't, as you called me, a cider ambassador. That's a really kind thing to say, but I like to embody it, but I think a cider ambassador actually gets supported by the industry. And that is one of the missing links. There are brand ambassadors, and they are really focused on individual cider brands. There's also associations, and they are working towards legislation, working with the government, and handling regulations, and really making that hopefully easier for the commercial cideries. But cider ambassadors are far and few between, and they typically happen because a country, if you will say, we're going to support this person to travel out and do this work. Haven't really seen that in the U.S. Sign me up. I would love to do that. In fact, I think I'm doing that, but I'm doing it for free. So tips would be appreciated. If you're tipping your bartender, throw a tip this way. There's a great way to do it. Lots of links to do that on Cider Chat. Big time. on that note, go to a little bit of a break, and we're going to return right back with some more on this 150th episode of Cider Chat.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Sure. Hi, I'm Matt, and I'm from New York.
Hi, my name is Wendy. I'm from Brooklyn.
And you are listening to Cider Chat. This is episode number 101.
I'm Sarah Grady. I'm the Vice President of Programs at Glenwood in Cold Spring, New York. We are an agricultural organization with a mission to ensure that farming thrives in the Hudson Valley.
And you are listening to Cider Chat, and this is episode 102.
Hi, this is Robbie Honda from Tanuki Cider in Santa Cruz, California, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode number 103.
Hi, this is Chad Cook from Cider Hill Farm and Cellars in Amesbury, Massachusetts, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 104.
Hi, this is Tom Oliver from Oliver Cider and Perry in Ogle Pitchard, Herefordshire, England, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
And this is episode 105.
I think that this goes back to the educational piece. People don't know about the podcast, about the Totally Cider Tours, or exceptional cider news, unless people are sharing that information. If you are excited, if you're passionate about all of these things, the best way to contribute to the cider culture is to tell everyone that you know about it, about everything that's happening in the cider world.
And I'll never be sour on hearing that.
No, you're much, much too sweet for that.
Thank you. That's very kind of you, Nose.
My hope is that it all happens for you and for the rest of Ciderville.
I have no doubt it will, because in my view, it's cider continues to go up all around the world. So let's say cheers to that and to the next 150 episodes.
Here's to all things possible.
This is Tracy Smith and Claudia Derp from The Cider Junction in San Jose, California. We are a bistro and bottle shop, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode number 107.
Hi, this is Adam Levy, the alcohol professor and founder of the New York International Beer Competition, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 108.
Hi, this is
Katie and Eric
from
we're gonna have to do this a couple times. Say hi. Okay, you want me to
are
do
you
it?
Sure you don't write it
I
down?
Can do it. Hi, this is Katie and Eric from
Rider Ranch Cider Works in Santa Cruz County, California.
And you're listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 110.
Counting 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Mr. Quince. We are back with episode 150. A big tip of the glass to the Nose for helping me share this memorable episode. Certainly to be able to get past 8 episodes, they say, for a podcaster, if you could get past that, then you have a good chance of carrying on. And had you told me that I'd be doing 150 episodes at this point, 3 years into Cider Chat, I don't know what to say about that. But I'd like to stay on a little bit of a thread and just kind of continue thanking some folks out there. There's been a lot of people along the way who have provided donations, some that I've mentioned. Some of the other people on the Cider Going Up campaign is Ramborn Cider in Luxembourg. This is a really an outstanding story of how Carlos Hein and his group, his kind of like band of friends, were inspired by a visit to the UK, then got this property in Luxembourg and are rejuvenating the whole drive for cider apples and peri pears. I mean, they have magnificent trees in Luxembourg. Some of the photos I've seen, you couldn't see the man in the tree because the tree was so big. And that he was up in that tree, I believe, taking out mistletoe, which is a little bit of a problem for them. And for a lot of people, mistletoe can be very invasive. But their story of what they're doing, they have like a UK flair for the cider that they're making. And they've been big supporters of Cider Chat through and through. And of course, I had Carlos Hein on Cider Chat. I had a cider dinner with him when I was at Baltimore at the United States Association of Cider Makers CiderCon conference, if you will. So thank you to Ramborn Cider Company for being part of the Cider Going Up campaign. So we have Current, we have Ironbark, and we have Ross on Y, we have NMR Process Services, and Ramborn Cider Company. These have been regular supporters straight on through. There's also been a number of people who have made some donations over this past year that really touched my heart. Certainly, Santa Cruz Cider Company consistently have sent out a check once a year. And I know it's a big deal for them because Natalie, Nicole, Felix, they are working on, you know, in an urban cidery on the coast in Santa Cruz. It's not the most easiest way to do it, but they're doing it because their passion is there. Their cider is really worth your penny. Seek them out because there's so much heart and soul into that cider. They've done a champagne method of a cider that you should have. They are scrumping. They are creating orchard. They're working with Robbie Honda, who you heard a while back, and Jake Mann. The whole Santa Cruz Monterey scene is so absolutely happening. So big tip of glass to them. They've been so supportive. It just touches my heart deeply. And speaking of Robbie Honda out of the blue sent me a check. I think at that point I had like 128 episodes, and he sent me a check for each episode that he listened to. That guy is doing something. I haven't gotten the full story from Robbie. I had him on for just a little mini glimpse, and I really want to get back to him because he has a very interesting brand story to Tanuki Cider Company that he has founded also in Santa Cruz. So I'm feeling that cider love. I really want to let you know that it means so much to me. And then there's been just different people throughout the year that have joined on the Cider Chat Patreon page. And these are, again, consumers, people who are just kind of passionate about it. And not to mention the folks who recently signed up for the Totally Cider Tour to Normandy. You know, you need people to drink your cider. I need people to go on the tours to make the tours happen. And it's not just making it happen for me, but all those producers that I've lined up to say, hey, you know, can you eke out that time so that we could show up and come to your cidery? And planning that so far ahead. So a big tip of the glass to those folks. I hear that there is a little mini keg out in Seattle, Washington right now that Story was able to get out in Seattle of Eric Bordelais' cider. And we're all like licking our chops, having had an amazing cider dinner, sit down. Actually, first we did a visit to Eric's chateau, his domain, and then we were sitting down for a Michelin star meal that he was at the head of the table just talking about tasting cider. I did a lot of recording on that tour, and I'm sure I'll be popping some of that out to the Patreon group and to the folks on the cider tour. So we're catching up on that. But the main point is that those folks made that tour possible for me to really step out into that international lane of offering a tour. Just wow, in my wildest dreams, it has happened. So big tip of the glass to those folks, a big tip of the glass to all the patrons and the folks who out of nowhere just send money occasionally. It makes a big difference. It is because of you that I'm able to keep on publishing this podcast that I know means so much to so many people, including the Talking Palms. So when I come right back, I want to talk about what would be possible if money wasn't any part of consideration. One of my major dreams that I hope to bring true in the future for Ciderville. I'll be right back with that.
Hi, this is Eleanor Leger of Eden Specialty Cider in Newport, Vermont.
Hi, this is Jake Mann from the 5 Mile Orchard in Corralitos, California.
Hi, this is Lee Reeve of World Cider Experience in Japan.
Hi, this is Rob Miller from Distillery Lane Cider Works. We're about an hour north of Washington, D.C. in Frederick County, Maryland.
Hi, this is Rick Moreno from Natopia Cider, San Diego.
Hi, this is Phil Kelm of Gitchigumi Cider Works, located in Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
Hello, I am a medlar, and a lot of people don't really understand that a medlar is a palm. And in an upcoming episode, Rhea and I will be talking about medlars and just how
beautiful they are.
Yes, just how beautiful we are. This week, we have
Rebecca De Kramer.
Rebecca De Kramer of Scott Laboratory. And you are listening to Cider Chat.
That was perfect.
Thank you, Rhea.
Episode 119. I just poured myself a glass of sweet cider, fresh from the cider mill. It's tart, it's sour, it's sweet, a little tannic, and it's steeped in memories of my childhood when I'd be driving around the back roads of New England with my folks in search of fall foliage. That's something that you just can't take out of the person once it's been there. I also have another real key memory that's informed my entire life, and that's hanging out with my dad and my brothers watching Saturday morning cartoons. They're not only enjoyable for me, but there was always a flavor for the adults, in this case my dad, that he could laugh out loud and enjoy too. It had a certain piece of education there, and that is priceless. It's also been pretty inspiring for me because I have found that there is quite a following of the Talking Palms. That's Mr. Quince, Perry Pear, and the Medlars. And it's thanks to them that adults out there in Ciderville are able to have a little bit of fun. We not take ourselves so seriously. And it's my hope that some of you who might be driving around with your kids might be able to share a little bit about who Perry Pear is and Mr. Quince and the Medlars. I mean, take this recent message that I just got from New Zealand and a maker there by the name of Adam. He sent me a photo over the weekend, and it says, "Enjoying a glass of my Mr. Quince cider while the tree is in flower." And he sent two beautiful flower photos, the white petals, the little stems coming up are red-tipped, and then a glass of the cider with a clear blue sky in the background. Because if you know what's going on right now in the Southern Hemisphere, they're entering into more of their summertime. And that liquid looks super clear, slightly, I would say, a light amber. And I asked him for a little bit of tasting notes, and he said, "Sight, clear, light golden with a hint of a green hue. Aroma, he mentioned as being floral, honey, perfume, and citrus. And the taste is interesting texture, semi-sweet, slightly sparkling, slight spice with long apple blossom finish. Overall, pretty good. Could use a little more acidity to balance." Well done, Adam. And when he also concluded with that he used a cider apple base from apples, I managed to bag and milled the quince and used it in a muslin bag during primary ferment. He used a Lavalin ICV Opal 2 yeast. Definitely no water. That stuff is bad for you. What's not to love about that? In fact, regular listeners may recall when Mr. Quince came on to tell Adam, when he was looking for a quince to pick, how to pick a quince during the perfect ripening season. That, my friends, is so much fun, and it changes the paradigm from just being focused on brand and selling cider to making it be a household, a familia experience. I actually feel we would be shortchanging ourselves to think that cider is just about what is in the glass. It is so much more. It's what's happening out in the orchard. All the people along the way that make it possible, from that seedling to be grafted, to be created, to travel around the world in so many different forms, with so many different people, to be touching so many lives along the way. And each life they bring, it brings a smile to their face. Whether you are an adult or a child, we all have a relationship to palms. And dang, those talking palms, they really steal my heart. And I hope they steal yours too. So keep that dream alive for me, thinking of animation out there in Ciderville. And I want to put this out as a little, cast out to the wind. If you are an animator, if you are a cartoonist, if you want to have a conversation with me, or you have a contact on how I'm making that possible, let's talk. Because the time is now. Shoot. If you have Misfit Toys doing it out there in Toy Story, why not do that with the palms? Think about how that would change the absolute paradigm for the consciousness of cider. I'm not shy about shouting it from the mountaintop that being in Ciderville is just a delightful place to be. It's one part raising glass as adults and responsible drinkers, and it's two parts about family and how we all work together to make the apple move from the orchard into the glass. So when I return, I'm going to share one more topic with you on what you could do right now to come along with me and have a bit more fun now this fall out there in Ciderville.
Hi, this is Trevor Baker of Noble Cider in Asheville, North Carolina.
Hi, this is Marcus Robert from Tieton Ciderworks in Yakima, Washington.
Bonjour, this is Philippe, Philippe de Rouault from Loret. The farm is called Le Bois, and I work with my wife, Marie-Claire.
Hi, this is Kirk Billingsley of Big Fish Cider Company in Monterey, Virginia.
Hi, this is Paul Vanderhyde from Vandermill Cider from Spring Lake, Michigan in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, this is Susanna and James Forbes from Little Pomona Orchard and Cidery.
And you are listening to Cider Chat.
Hi, this is Matt DeLong from Ridge Cider Company in Grant, Michigan.
Hi, I'm Tom Bell. I live in Cohasset, Massachusetts, which is right on the coast just south of Boston. I grow my own apples in my backyard that are part of an old estate, and some of them are over 100 years old. I just won the Best of Show at Insider at the 23rd Annual Boston Brew Competition, and I'm ready to... what am I ready to do? I'm ready to pause and say, and you're listening to Cider Chat. and you're listening to Cider Chat. And you're listening to Cider Chat.
I do enjoy a good belly laugh with the folks on Cider Chat and with you every single week. Which leads me to another fun experience coming up on November 1st, and that is the New England Cider Tour. That is taking place in Greenfield, Massachusetts. That is our starting and end point. It starts the day before Franklin County Cider Days kicks off for the weekend, a weekend full of free events and a few ticket events too, including a cider salon on Saturday night. If you are in the area, or if you know anyone going to Cider Days, or if you know people who don't know about Cider Days, tell them. And tell them to sign up for this New England Cider Tour, where we're heading to Farnham Hill, Eden, Stowe, and then having a cider sit-down dinner with three makers at Fable Farm. We have Fable Farm, Tin Hat, and Flag Hill Cider, all Vermont makers and worth your time. So check it out by going to the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com. You'll find the reservation there. The doors are closing on October 22nd to make this tour happen. I'm counting on you to share the news. That's right, share the news. I'll say it once, I will say it again, that cider is going up around the world.
Hi, this is Carlo Hein from Wembon Cider Co. in Luxembourg, Europe, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 129.
Hi, this is Thierry Lemaire of Nuance Winery Supplies, located in France/Ontario.
Hi, this is Louis Enfit of Redu USA, located in Santa Rosa, California.
Hi, this is Ryan Monkman from Fieldbird Cidery in Prince Edward County, Ontario, the north side of Lake Ontario.
The TTB don't care how you analyze your stuff as long as it's validated. You know that when they test it, you're going to get the same number, right?
Episode 133.
Hi, this is Joe Getz of Curran Cider in Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Nathan Williams of Somerville, Massachusetts. I was awarded Cider Maker of the Year 2018 at the National Homebrew Competition held by the American Homebrewers Association in Portland, Oregon this year.
Hello, this is Alex Peckham from Peckham Cider, Nelson, top of the South Island of New Zealand.
Hi, this is Gavin Robertson at Niagara College Teaching Winery in Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada.
Hi, this is Val,
Brent,
and Kat of Heartwood Farm and Cidery,
located in beautiful Ospringe, Ontario.
About an hour northwest of Toronto.
Hi, this is Kat from Ironbark Cider in Southern California. We make SoCal-style cider, light, irreverent, kind of cheeky.
Hi, this is Mark Skinner of Windswept Cider, located in beautiful Meaford, Ontario, up in South Georgian Bay.
Check, 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 check. C'est moi, Perry Pear. You can't get there from here.
What are you doing, Perry?
I am practicing my French and New England accents. Of course, it's very New Hampshire to say, you can't get there from here.
You're a wicked pisser, Perry. How does that sound?
Not bad, Mr. Quince, not bad. A little bit more accent and looseness with your tongue might help.
Quinces don't have tongues, Perry.
Right.
Perry, Perry. Can you bring us into this episode?
Of course. Hello, this is Perry Pear. I suspect you already know that because you, like I, enjoy Perry, or what is known in France as Poré. And believe it or not, they also make it in Vermont and New Hampshire. Although, I am not quite sure...
Perry, please finish the introduction.
Right. And you are listening to Cider Chat.
Hi, this is Andy Sietsma of Sietsma Cider, located in Ada, Michigan, soon to be as well as Cedar Springs, Michigan, with our new tap room.
Hi, this is Case Cornelis Morsink, and I'm from Kingsmill Cider in Sterling, Ontario. And we're located probably 30 kilometers north of Belleville, Ontario, and Trenton, Ontario. So you can kind of figure it out. So we're about 20 minutes off the 401. And we have a tasting room, so you're welcome to come anytime. We're open on Saturdays and Sundays, 11 to 6. And I run Kingsmill Cider with my wife, Margaret Van Helleford, who's sitting beside me, who doesn't want to talk.
And those are just some of the people out there in Ciderville that I have met over the past year, since episode 100 went live last fall. Wow, what an amazing journey. My heart is full. A big tip of the glass to the nose and the talking palms, who helped me get through, hallelujah, it's 150 episodes of Cider Chat. I expect we'll be back next week, but in the meanwhile, before I leave you, don't forget there's a limited time right now to sign up for the New England Cider Tour going out on November 4th. Go to the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com and sign up now. And if you can't go, don't forget to share the news and let your friends know that this cool cider tour is happening and we're going to have a ton of fun. In the meanwhile, this is Rio Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Ah!